This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Just ahead, hear from a community immigration law center in Madison about its work as the nation's immigration policies are in flux.
That is coming up. Now it is WPR's Spring Membership Drive, and Dean Kinetter is joining me now. Hello.
Hello, Kate.
We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like Wisconsin Today. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so critical.
That's right. These member drives are an important time to make sure the funding is in place for the news and the information you rely on from WPR. Your gift funds Wisconsin Today and all the other WPR shows you value. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A large slice of funding for WPR, the biggest and most reliable piece of it is listener support. So while all of our funding sources are important, it's your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is, thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear from quite a few first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten that first job out of college, or people who have reached some other milestone in their life and realized, hey, you know, it's time to give back to WPR.
Giving money to something you believe in, a service you rely on, is a great way to commemorate that new phase of your life, and we certainly encourage it. Many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose the amount that's right for you, and then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It is our spring member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Kinetter. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a difference. It has an important impact.
And we know you value your time. We value your time, too. That's why giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It is quick, it is easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, get in on the drawing we're having for a WPR prize pack. 10 lucky winners are going to receive a really exciting assortment of WPR gear and a Wisconsin State Park Pass. Your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 enters you into that drawing. Sustainers, you're automatically entered, but we do welcome the extra gift.
Add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe. It is soft, it is stylish, and it will let everyone know you're a WPR listener. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, this drive is a great time to become a sustaining member of WPR. It's easy to set up. You'll make ongoing, convenient monthly donations from a bank account or a credit card. You can change it anytime you wish. Get started with that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to Elizabeth in Evansville who says, we need WPR's honesty and thoroughly researched news. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. And now let's hear from you at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. It's Wisconsin Today. This week, President Trump signed new executive orders targeting migrants and immigration into America. One order creates a national registry of sanctuary cities. That's the political term for places that refuse cooperation with immigration enforcement.
Those new orders come as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement under the Trump administration ramps up raids and arrests.
While migrants facing deportation have sought rights to legal representation, in practice, they often go without lawyers, as language barriers and public defender shortages present challenges.
Grant Sovereign is board president of the Community Immigration Law Center in Madison. The group works with people facing immigration challenges and deportation. Grant, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for your interest in the topic.
Grant, I know we're talking about a wide range of people, from people without a legal status to people with legal status that might be revoked or challenged. To what extent do people in these situations have a right to due process, to a day in court if they face deportation?
Well, there are plenty of laws that do say that people get their due process, whether you're an immigrant with a visa, you're an immigrant with a green card, or even just a person in the United States and you're not quite sure of your immigration status. The Constitution actually protects every person in the United States from law enforcement coming and not giving you an opportunity to explain what your immigration status is or to get some help doing it. So in all of these cases, people have an opportunity to have a right to have a lawyer. They just don't have a right to have a lawyer paid for by the government, because it's civil law. That's what immigration law is, versus criminal law, where there is a right to a lawyer paid for you by the state because you can't afford yourself, because we look at that as a restriction on your liberty if you're going to jail. But honestly, if you look at people who are detained for immigration purposes, even though it's a civil law, like paying your taxes late or a parking violation, you can end up in a jail. It looks like you're a criminal. You are wearing an orange jumpsuit. You're shackled to your chair. You can be forced from your community and separated from your family and your job. And yet, because it's called civil law, you don't have a right to a lawyer representing you in those proceedings as paid for.
In practice, even though that free attorney might not be available, are people who are detained and maybe being put on a plane to be sent to El Salvador or whatever, are they even getting an opportunity to challenge this effort to remove them from the country, to reach out and try to find some kind of legal representation?
There have been a lot of efforts by the government to limit due process because it slows down what their effort is, which seems to be racking up as many deportations as possible, no matter what the person's status is or what due process rights somebody has. So it has been very difficult for people. They are whisked away without getting the opportunity to talk to people, not given the opportunity to make telephone calls. And there are very, very limited immigration resources already in Wisconsin. There are far, far too few. Even if people have the resources, there aren't enough immigration lawyers to be able to represent everybody who gets picked up for deportation. So it's extremely difficult in practice for that to happen, even if you have the resources to do it.
That is part of where your work fits in at the Community Immigration Law Center. Can you talk about the work you do and who you're trying to work with?
Well, we are doing exactly what you said, just trying to give due process to people to make sure that the government gets it right, frankly, because I think a lot of people think there's, you know, a good list and a bad list. And if you're on the bad list, the government must know that you're here, that you shouldn't be here. And if ICE picks you up, well, you end up getting deported. And there was a study that sort of bore this out a couple of years ago, where in New York City, about 20% of the people had lawyers. And for those people who are in immigration court facing deportation, when only 20% of the people had lawyers, 96% of the time they ended up getting deported, which sort of supported that idea that there's a bad list and a good list. But after the city of New York gave enough money for an organization like the Community Immigration Law Center to give a lawyer to every single person in immigration court, 2 years later, it turned out that only about 50% of those people were deported. And this wasn't because, you know, these clever lawyers were, you know, finding some loophole or a workaround or fooling anybody. They were literally just applying the law the way it existed, which told us two amazing things. Number one, half of the people are getting deported who shouldn't be, according to the actual laws that Congress passed and said, these are the people who we don't think are deportable. And these are the people who, even if they are deportable, maybe we shouldn't send them back to their country because they might face some sort of persecution there. Or there might be somebody here in the U.S. who's left in some extremely unusual hardship situation. And the second thing we learned was there's actually something that we as Americans can do to help due process. It feels like right now there's a freight train rolling through us and taking away our rights. But what turns out to be true is if we can give a lawyer to every person who's facing deportation, just like we do in the criminal context, then we know that people get their due process rights. So it really has been empowering to communities like Madison and Milwaukee and Wisconsin, where we have the Community Immigration Law Center, to be able to guarantee that at least people will get the law applied to them, where it seems like today that's not happening very much.
In our last minute or so, the Trump administration didn't invent deportation, but they focused a lot of attention on it. Their stated goal is to deport a lot more people. Are you feeling the difference? Are you seeing that difference at the Immigration Law Center?
Yeah, it's true. At Silk, the Community Immigration Law Center, we have seen a lot more activity. There haven't been raids like a lot of people are worried about, but there is much more targeted enforcement of immigration rules right now by ICE, going to people's homes, to their businesses sometimes. And as we saw last week, or 2 weeks ago, in courthouses. So yeah, ICE is doing much more of that in targeted ways, going after people who they believe might be deportable, which is why you need a lawyer to help figure out whether somebody is actually deportable. Because just because ICE has an administrative warrant, which is their own determination that we'd like to talk to this person to find out if they're deportable, it doesn't mean that you will actually get deported. And that's why supporting efforts to make sure we have due process means that we will have safer communities and that rights are upheld for everybody.
Grant, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Grant Sovereign, board president of the Community Immigration Law Center in Madison, talking about due process for people facing immigration challenges and deportation.
Coming up, the new leader of La Crosse is thinking about how he wants to leave his mark.
Making sure that I'm a mayor that helped propel this city into a direction of forward thinking, being community driven and accessible to the people.
That conversation is next on WPR News.
This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, the new mayor of La Crosse shares his vision for the job and his roots in community organizing.
That's coming up. First, it's Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Member Drive. In the studio with me, ain't nothing better than Dean Kinetter at WPR. Listener contributions are the biggest source of our funding. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including Wisconsin Today, on the air. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And that gift during this spring member drive is really important because it directly supports your daily listening. The trustworthy reporting and the thought-provoking conversations you come here for are available thanks to you. So choose an amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just had that conversation about immigration, deportation, due process, and efforts to provide services for people facing immigration challenges. It's an example of something we do a lot, something we've been doing for years and years here at Wisconsin Public Radio, looking at these stories from the nation's capital, from around the world, and saying, hey, how does this affect us in Wisconsin? How does it affect people living and working here in the state? WPR's listeners supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make that kind of conversation possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take just a couple few minutes and then make your gift.
A great way to support WPR, maybe the best way, is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing, monthly donations right from a bank account or credit card.
Many people will give $10 or $20 a month. You choose, though, whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a great source of information about the nation, the world, and, of course, Wisconsin. You value WPR for the lifelong learning it brings. You learn something new every day, year after year.
And that continuing education, that lifelong learning is possible only because of support from listeners like you. Like any education, you get out of it what you put into it. Invest in that education at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the first day of our spring member drive, and we have an exciting offer for you. Support the WPR programs you count on and ask for your 2025 WPR t-shirt when you give $15 a month.
What? $15 a month?
Yep, this special donation amount is available today only. Tomorrow it goes up. Ask for your soft and stylish new WPR t-shirt today. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your gift. It's Wisconsin Today. Dean Knetter is in the studio with us. Your support during the spring member drive makes all the news and conversation and information you enjoy on WPR possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount to give.
Now, you can turn on the radio every day, start streaming us on your phone without an upfront charge, and enjoy hours of news and conversation and reporting, all sorts of good stuff. WPR is available to everyone because listeners like you help cover the cost.
And that's whether you're listening on a radio, whether you're streaming on a computer, where you're listening to archived audio, reading the reporting from our great news team, our producers here, so much. Join in today. Become a member with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, when you support the programs you value on WPR, give the amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month or more.
Whatever amount you give, it's going to support the programs that enhance your life with great information and news and connection each and every day. Give right now whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today is an exciting time to give, a good time to give, because today only we have this drawing going on for a WPR prize pack. 10 lucky folks are going to win a box full of WPR gear that you can keep for yourself. You can share it with friends and family. Also in that box is going to be a Wisconsin State Park Pass. So you're going to get to enjoy the state in all kinds of ways. Your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gets you automatically entered.
So if somebody wins this thing, Dean, they can put on that WPR gear, right?
Yep.
And they can go to the state park and walk around it, right? And show it off to fellow park lovers.
You can let everyone know, hey, what brought me here? Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yep. And speaking of gear, we've got another in our series of attractive, stylish, comfy WPR t-shirts. Let the world know you're a WPR fan with this purple and orange Wisconsin-themed design. It's got a cream-colored background. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I love this shirt. This shirt brought me back to fourth grade when we had a unit all about the state symbols.
Oh, yeah, because this has the state symbols
on it. There's all sorts of state symbols from Wisconsin. You have the state,
you got a badger, right?
Yep. We have the state flower, the wood violet. We have a white-tailed deer. You've got the state insect, the honey bee. There may be a cow on there, too. There's all sorts of, like...
Is there, like, the red granite, the stone? I don't know if that's good t-shirt.
We don't have Antigo silt loam on there.
No.
The state
and they
soil.
Never made Lactobacillus the official state microbe. I'd love to see that
the
t-shirt. Yeah, that never happened. That fell short.
What could beat it out?
I don't know. No, there isn't one. They just didn't. We don't have one. And it probably because it doesn't look good on a t-shirt.
That's true. I love this t-shirt, though. It's really nostalgic for me. And if you love Wisconsin, you're going to love this shirt. It looks really cool. Once again, you can get that with a gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
when you're making that gift. Why not become a sustaining member? Now, if you've already done this, fantastic. Thank you so much. If you haven't, you can become a sustainer right now. It's quick and easy, and then you'll know, hey, I'm giving right now. Make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We heard from Heidi and Nina, who says, I believe in all WPR stands for. Wow, fantastic. Thank you so much, Heidi. How about you? Join the team here on Wisconsin Today and at Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift online at WPR.org, or you can call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.
Now to the largest city on Wisconsin's western border that sits along the Mississippi River. The city of La Crosse elected a new leader in the April election.
Shondell Washington Spivey is the city's first Black and openly gay mayor. His roots are in community organizing, co-founding the La Crosse-based nonprofit Black Inc. It stands for Black Leaders Acquiring Collective Knowledge.
Prior to his election, Washington Spivey served on the La Crosse School Board, and he currently serves on the Governor's Equity and Inclusion Advisory Council. Mayor Shondell Washington Spivey, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You serve on a council that advises Governor Evers on how to further equity and inclusion in state government. And with DEI under siege at the federal level, how do you look to advance those priorities in your own community as the new mayor of La Crosse?
Yeah, so I think there is there's a couple things. One, as serving on the Governor's Equity Council for as long as I have been, we are also in a current state of let's sit down, talk through what's happening both statewide and nationally, and kind of regroup and refocus. As far as bringing it to La Crosse, I think there is also this large misconception of what DEI is, because I think there's a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. But also there's been this kind of push to make it seem as if it's this really bad thing that we're doing to people. And the reality is that when we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, it is really about making sure that everybody is represented at the table equitably, making sure that we acknowledge our history and learn from it. And of course, try not to repeat the harms that have been done to marginalized communities.
How might that work for La Crosse? What would that look like in action?
Well, since the beginning of my campaign, I've really been about community. And even before my campaign, like, I am a community organizer. I started a nonprofit here. A lot of the work that I've done in this community has really been about bringing people together and working through issues. And so I don't plan to change that now, right? As mayor, when I ran my campaign, specifically talked a lot about building a La Crosse where everyone belongs and feels safe and have the resources equitably to be able to thrive and be successful in this community. And I stand behind that. And when I think of like some of the challenges and opportunities that La Crosse have, I just look forward to bringing people together to say, like, how can we make this happen? How can we better address this? How can we better serve our constituents?
But when people don't see eye to eye, how do you bridge those gaps and then be able to move forward with solutions?
Yeah, a lot of compromising, obviously. But then also, I think that there's also this idea that I recall in my community organizing days of like, as long as you're, we can have conversations, we can come to compromises. But if your compromise is any way something that is harmful, right, to me or to people, I think that's when we have to have a different conversation. And I'm not trying to make it seem like it's easy either, right? Like, unfortunately, not every situation can always be a win-win. But I hope that we come to a compromise that at least shows dignity and respect. And also recognize, again, like, not causing harm to vulnerable and marginalized populations.
What do you think are the greatest contributions that community organizers can do within your community? You've seen it up close. You've been on the front lines. What do you see that changes?
Well, I think there's a thing that we would say, which is called speaking truth to power, right? Mm-hmm. So the work that I've done has always talked about the importance of identity. So acknowledging who we are, who you are as an individual, and then understanding the historical context of where we are as a nation, as a people, as a world. And then third, making sure that you understand the influence that you have, be it in your community, your workplace, et cetera, to ensure that you're moving people forward and being forward thinking. But then again, also making sure that you're acknowledging the history and not wanting to repeat the bad things of history, but really truly saying, like, everybody belongs here.
Hmm. You are the first Black mayor of La Crosse, also the city's first openly gay mayor. And in a previous interview, you said the identities we hold matter. How do your identities inform your work as a city leader?
Yeah. So, and I stand behind that statement, like, our identities and who we are matter. It helps us shape our worldview. It helps us shape how we view people. And also it impacts how people view us. And so you can't ignore your identity. And I've said this before as well, like, yes, I understand that some of these, like, race is a social construct that was created. But the reality is that it was created and it has existed for a long time. And in fact, race matters, right? Mm-hmm. Our identities matter. And when we think about, like, even as I stated before, from a historical standpoint of recognizing whose identity has not always mattered and how we have based policies and rules off of identities to keep individuals in power, et cetera, that type of work has happened historically. And so when I think of, like, me being the first Black openly gay mayor, it doesn't necessarily tell you how I'm going to run the city, but who I am matters. And my identities have helped shape my worldview, have helped shape my experiences, both growing up in Milwaukee and being here in La Crosse. And so as mayor, I hold on to my identities because those identities can also show me how to be a community member, right? Like, to connect with people, build community with people. When I think of that community organizing side, there's a piece of that community organizing that was also a part of the resistance and fighting for justice and change and equity. And that is what I bring to this role as well, of looking and examining how can we truly explore policy, ordinances, et cetera, to ensure that even city practices, to ensure that we are being equitable in our decision-making, to ensure that our community is really a safe place where everybody feels that they can belong and, again, have accesses to resources and be able to thrive. And understand how to navigate the system is another big one for me, too.
We're talking with Shondell Washington Spivey, newly elected mayor of the city of La Crosse. Mayor, considering the political climate, is La Crosse in a position to tackle hard issues and find solutions, particularly in the area of a lack of affordable housing?
Yes. So I believe that La Crosse is in a good position. And the reason that I say that is because we have people that are at the table doing the work. So when we look at our city planning department, they've already begun doing efforts around affordable housing and just housing in general, because that is a big issue here in La Crosse of, like, making sure we have enough units of housing, ensuring that we're working with our unhoused populations with dignity and respect.
I want to turn then to housing. The urban planning consultants that completed the La Crosse housing study found the city needs to produce hundreds of housing units each year through 2030. What is a solution that you're pushing to address the housing issue?
Yes. Yeah, so the study you're referring to, I believe it said something about, like, 220 units of housing every year until 2030,
mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it sounds like a lot. I remember hearing that number. But what I would say is working with the city planning, working with other developers, we're exploring what does that look like in this community and how we can make it happen. We do currently have several housing complexes that are up right now or being built. And then we have some, you know, on the horizon. And so between zoning changes, again, taking that information and kind of exploring a little bit more of some actionable items between those, I think that is the exploratory stage. And the action stage that's already taking place is that we're currently working on building new developments and seeing what land we have available and working with developers to ensure that we are working to build more housing in the city.
And, you know, when it comes to taxes and the amenities that the city of La Crosse can offer residents, how do you approach that issue when the city needs things and then you also have to look at what level of taxes are feasible for residents?
Yeah, and that's where I lean on my directors, right, the city staff. That's when I lean on community members to say, okay, what we have is what we want to maintain. What's the best way to do that? We want to also elevate, right, and be more forward thinking. And so what's the best way to do that to where it is not causing damage to taxpayer pockets, so to speak, but it also isn't preventing the city from being able to be forward thinking and move things along.
How do you want to make your mark as mayor over the next 4 years? What do you want to be known for?
I mean, for me, it's just a matter of making sure that I'm a mayor that helped propel this city into a direction of forward thinking, being community driven, and accessible to the people.
Well, Mayor Washington Spivey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Look forward to doing this again.
That was Shondell Washington Spivey, the new mayor of the city of La Crosse, elected to the office in the April election. We were talking about his priorities for his next 4 years in office.
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, Wisconsin musician Phil Cook shares the story behind a new album with inspiration from nature and the birds he encounters.
I need the birds in my headphone to actually perform it. Like, in order for me to play it with the right, in the right rhythm and cadence, I have to have the birds.
The album's called Appalachia Borealis. That's ahead on WPR News. It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Appalachia Borealis is a new album from Chippewa Falls musician Phil Cook, inspired by two places he holds dear, North Carolina, where he currently lives, and his home state of Wisconsin.
For most of his career, Cook has worked with indie bands like Megafon, Bon Iver, and his Golden Messenger, contributing guitar and vocals. But for this new solo album, he returned to his home instrument, the piano.
And now he is joined by another set of collaborators, birds. While recording the album, Cook had Birdsong piped into his headphones, with some appearing on the tracks.
Phil Cook recently spoke with WPR's Beta about returning to Wisconsin to create the album. He said he first got the inspiration during a difficult period in his life while going through a divorce.
I found myself living in the country, and it was a quiet space, which I was happy for, to have a quiet space away from the city, because I was figuring a lot out for myself. And it also involved me taking a lot of long walks and going in the woods. So, you know, for me, this became something of like a daily practice. So when you hear the birds on the recording, I was taking walks in the woods every day. And then here I am starting to pay attention to like, oh, what is that? What is that one though? That one is really special. And I find out it's a northern mockingbird. And then I start hearing mockingbirds everywhere. And then I'm sitting one day in my bed, I'm dawn, and there's a willow tree outside my window. And I can just hear that there is a mockingbird sitting 5 feet from my head, and it's just going off. So I quietly open up my window just enough, and I put my phone on the edge of the windowsill, and I just recorded about 15 minutes of this like dawn chorus. It was just a really sweet moment. And I got to my studio that day. I put on that recording in my headphones here. I just put it on a loop. And normally I sit down and I have my own warm-up routine, and I just had the birds going in my ears the whole time. And this profound thing happens. All of a sudden, I'm in this sanctuary that I go to every day in the woods. And I'm in it. My eyes are closed. I'm already there. And the calmness, the other time, the removal of time from my normal life, and the world is falling away. I'm falling away. Everything's falling away. And I'm gone. I'm swept away in it. And in that space, I wrote 3 songs in one day with the birds just in my ears. They set this scene that's so beautiful. Like, they have their own rhythm. They have their own cadence. And that became a healing space for me.
The piano has been like a home to Phil for most of his life. He grew up in Chippewa Falls in a musical family, and he caught his dad's love of listening to classic records from Martha and the Vandellas or Otis Redding and tried to play them by ear on the family piano.
We had an upright piano like in my living room. It was a pretty old Schimmel from Faribault, Minnesota, and it had ornate woodwork in it, and my dad is a piano player. So my dad grew up playing piano. He knew he can read sheet music, but he also plays by ear. So I grew up in a house where my father was sitting down and he would play, not on work nights, but on weekends. My dad would really kind of sit down for a while and play.
As Phil entered his teenage years, the piano became a personal sanctuary for him. While he sometimes felt alone being from a small town, the piano was always there for him.
When I took off into music, when I really found that piano, was like right in the throes of puberty, all the confusion, the piano was there for me. And it was just this place where I could put all that same uncomfortability and all that confusion and everything I was enduring. I just really began to fall in love with my dad's record collection. He had great records. And so I would put on records and CDs and anything I could find, and I would just try and figure things out. And I was very alone in Chippewa Falls. In this process, I did not have a friend or a companion in this. It was just like, it was a solo journey for me until I got to high school.
In high school, Phil met Justin Vernon, who would later go on to form the Grammy Award-winning band Bon Iver. The two friends have collaborated together for many years, and when it was time to record this new album, Phil returned to Justin's studio. It's called April Bass. It's located in Fall Creek. For Phil, it was like a homecoming. He said he's made a lot of memories in that studio.
Justin and I grew up and really learned how to play music together. All my core memories of music, he's right there by my side. And I knew I wanted to make this record I just wanted to find a special piano. I wanted a producer this time. And when I say producer, I really want somebody who's going to create this space around me for me to go there. A friend that's been in your corner that long, that sees you for you, loves you for you, accepts you for you, respects you for you. That's the kind of space I'm talking about. So when I asked Justin if he would produce, he said, yes. What do you picture me doing? And I said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to just hold the space and let me go where I got to go. And then I need you to just listen. And then when it's done, I need you to go through and take notes and just say, these are the moments I feel like the most you that I know you to be on the instrument. And he made like the kind of greatest hits list out of all the session, because we had about 100 recordings to go through that I made in 2 days. So...
During all of those recording sessions, Phil had voice memos he'd recorded of different bird songs piped into his headphones. He called it an important part of the creative process.
I knew some of the recordings that I had written, some of the compositions I had, I wrote them with those birds. So like the wood thrush song, That's from a forest in Orange County, North Carolina. That's the song that goes with that environment and that bird. So I need those. That I need the birds in my headphone to actually perform it. In order for me to play it with the right, in the right rhythm and cadence, I have to have the birds. In a way, I'm really collaborating with them. They're setting the tone, they're setting the pace and the scene around everything. They are the context. And my reactions and how I'm playing, even like the wood thrush song is in E flat. It's in E flat because when the wood thrush says, like that, like when it hits that, that's like E flat sounds the best with that. You know, so they're really dictating where I'm going and what I'm doing. So I absolutely am humbled to be collaborating with the birds. Yeah.
For Phil, the album name Appalachia Borealis holds special meaning for his two homes, North Carolina and Wisconsin. He says he was inspired last year when climate conditions made the Aurora Borealis visible in the South, a pretty rare occurrence.
It was visible all the way where we were, and I've never seen that before. I'd only ever seen it up in the UP and up in northern Wisconsin, right? And so my life is also two different homes that I have, the home I came from, my homeland, and then my adopted beautiful home in North Carolina. And they're always talking to each other in my heart and my soul. Like I always think about the other one when I'm wherever I am, you know? It just made sense. I was like, man, that's my favorite thing about, I just longing to see the Aurora Borealis again. And I tried a lot of times, but I didn't quite see them down here. And none of my friends down here have ever seen them or know about them. And I'm like, oh, it's like the most magical thing you can experience is to look at the sky and see this thing. It's a great mystery when you're a kid to look up at the sky and go, whoa, this is cool, you know? So it harkens all of that. It has to be like part Midwest, part Appalachia. So Appalachia Borealis, you know.
Phil says he couldn't have made this record as a younger musician. He believes that time and experience have honed his craft and given him more patience and humility at the keys. When writing the title track, Appalachia Borealis, he found himself drawn to thoughts of Wisconsin.
I needed to go through all of that stuff to realize how much I value space, how much I value authenticity that I want to be in my life and to be able to take that authenticity and put it out. And so with Appalachia Borealis, the song, everything aligned in my life, all the things I was navigating personally. It was a rainy day when I wrote it. It was like pouring rain. Oh, the mood was set, man. It was there. I was really missing Wisconsin and home. And I had a recording from the cabin that my family's owned for 115 years. I had a recording of some loons on the lake. And that day, I put those loons on. I can feel it when the hair on the back of my neck stands up. And when my eyes get wet behind my eyelids, I can feel when I'm in a place and I fall away. That's when something comes out like that. Yeah. It's pretty special. So that really contains the most sacred place on earth for me, that cabin.
That was Wisconsin musician Phil Cook talking about his new album of piano and bird song. It's called Appalachia Borealis. You can hear more of Phil's interview with WPR's Beta and listen to the full album at WPR.org. Phil's going to perform tonight in Eau Claire and in Princeton, Wisconsin on Saturday. Maybe he'll catch the flea market there.
Now it is the Wisconsin Public Radio Member Drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in the studio with Dean Kinetter, here to say that your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is truly listener-powered. That means your support makes WPR's news, analysis, conversations, music available not only for yourself, but for the entire community. So thank you for making WPR's public service mission possible with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Wisconsin has such a vibrant music scene, so many talented artists who come from here. And we just got that inside story on Phil Cook's piano and Birdsong journey and his Wisconsin roots. These arts and culture stories, they are important to the fabric of who we are in Wisconsin. And you help make this possible. You help make this reporting. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
Yeah, that was such a beautiful story we just heard, and it felt like a kind of a celebration of part of Wisconsin.
Sure did.
And you can celebrate your support for Wisconsin Public Radio with our new WPR t-shirt. This is really neat. The cream-colored shirt features Wisconsin state symbols, including WPR and violet and a cow and a deer and all sorts of neat stuff. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you come to Wisconsin Public Radio every day as part of your routine on your way to and from work, over the lunch hour, some more on the weekends.
And listening to WPR that way makes it an important part of your life. Your day would probably be less complete if you couldn't catch your favorite program like Wisconsin Today. Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on month after month, year after year. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio wakes me up every morning. Mostly I just enjoy the morning programming and the afternoon programming. I became a sustaining member because I felt so guilty with all the pledge drives, because they're so logical and they're so persistent. It's crucial that we have people support it so we don't lose it. I'm Sarah from Wausau. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this spring member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Dean Kennetter. Join in with your gift right now, because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
Wisconsin Public Radio connects you to news and information from all over the state, and we're listener-supported. That means these connections happen because members step in and fund them. That's where you come in. Make everything you value on WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of us have things we spend money on daily, like perhaps that cup of coffee or a favorite snack.
Definitely. And yes, you can look at something like Wisconsin Today or the classical music on WPR, the NPR News, as something that's part of your routine also. It makes your day a little bit better, and put a value on it. Maybe a dollar a day is just the right donation for you. That's probably less than those other daily treats. Sign up right now with that gift, which equals out to $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and support the programs you count on.
And now is the time. Give while you're thinking about it. It just takes a second, few minutes to make your contribution to WPR.
Don't put it on a to-do list for later. Just take care of it right now. Now is the time. Give at WPR.org or call us on the phone at 888-202-2552. In just a few minutes, you will have a really good feeling of supporting the programs you value.
And get in on the drawing for a WPR prize pack. 10 lucky winners will receive an exciting assortment of WPR gear and a Wisconsin State Park Pass. Your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It enters you into this drawing. And sustainers, you're automatically entered, but we do welcome your extra gift.
Lots of cool stuff in that prize pack. And you can also add the latest WPR t-shirt to your wardrobe this member drive. Soft and stylish t-shirt. It's going to let everyone know you're a WPR listener and a fan of Wisconsin in general. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Become a sustaining member while you're at it. It's so easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Taylor in Lake Geneva says WPR is a wonderful, valuable programming resource. Taylor, thank you so much. Join Taylor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Wisconsin Today producers include Royce Padeswa, Beatrice Lawrence, and Rochelle Wilson. Our technical directors are Sarah Hopeful and Tyler Ditter. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to WPR News.